Okay, Rav Yitzchak Kuttner in the Pachad Yitzchak on Purim, Inyan Chav Zayin. And it's actually connected to the very first words in this week's Parsha. Okay, so let's take a look. Vayikra El Moshe. Vayikra El Moshe. Hashem called to Moshe. Of course, the Aleph of Vayikra is a small Aleph, which makes sense. We always read Parshas Vayikra in a leap year as the Parsha that leads us into Purim. So the whole Inyan of Adar we've been explaining is about discovering that small Aleph. When it looks like Vav Yud Kofresh, which is a lashon of mikra, of chance, of randomness, find that small aleph and realize that it's Hashem calling out to you. So that's the small aleph of Vayikra, Vayikra El Moshe. Just pointing that out in passing. Fits everything that we've been learning about the aleph of Adar, aleph Adar. But Vayikra El Moshe, Hashem called to Moshe. Mefurash bezeh, sha'afilu Moshe Rabbeinu. Shahayu nihirin lo kol haraze olam, shebeprate maleches hamishkan. It's clear from here that even Moshe Rabbeinu, who had an unbelievable clarity in all of the secrets of the world and the relationship with the construction of the Mishkan, right? Meaning the Mishkan was Hashem's house, but it was also Moshe's house. I mean, Moshe knew what was going on in the Mishkan. Moshe was, in many ways, the balabas of the Mishkan. Okay, it's true, but Salel and Ahaliyah were the chief architects of the Mishkan. But Moshe was the CEO of the whole corporation. He oversaw everything. So Moshe, who again, Nihirin Lo, is clear to him. Kol Raze Olam Shereprate Melechas HaMishkan. All of the Razim, all of the secrets of the construction of the Mishkan. You would think Moshe could go into the Mishkan whenever he wanted. No. Vayikra El Moshe. He waited for Hashem to call him. Mikol Makom Lo Nichnas Lesocho B'li Kriya. Moshe would not enter the Mishkan without being summoned by Hashem. That's a very deep thing. To know that a person should know their place, to know that there's a time to be close, there's a time to keep one's distance, as Rav Kuttner will describe. V'amr al zechachamim, and Chazal say, it's a medrash in this week's Parsha, Vayikra Rabba, medrash Rabba in this week's Parsha, she'im haya nichnas b'li kriya. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have entered the Mishkan without being summoned, Oz haisa alav taina shal tamid chacham b'li das, then he would be considered a tamid chacham without das, without deep understanding. The Medrash says, I'll read you the words of the Medrash, it's not on the page in front of you. The Medrash says, kol tamid chacham she'ein bo das, any tamid chacham who lacks das, Nevela Tova Heimenu. A dead carcass is better than him. It's strong. Kol Tamid Chacham She'in Bo Das, Nevela Tova Heimenu. Moshe Rabbeinu, by the way, in the Svarim HaKadoshim, is seen as the person of Das. And a Malik who opposes Moshe Rabbeinu, opposes Klal Yisrael, right? Moshe represents Torah, a Malik is connected to Torah. So Amalek is the klipa of Das, the negative side of Das, the perversion of Das. Okay? And there's no, you know, who's the paradigmatic, you know, Talmud Chacham? Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest Rebbe, the greatest teacher of Torah, the greatest learner of Torah. Right? So this again, listen to the words of the Medrash. Kol Talmud Chacham She'ein Bo Das, Nevela Tova Heimenu. Nevela, a carcass is better than him. I'll tell you what I think it means, just very quickly. What do you do with a dead carcass? Pasuk and Parshas Mishpatim. What do you do with a dead carcass? Throw it to the dogs. That's right. You throw it to the dogs. The Pasuk says, Anche Kodesh Tiyun Li, in Shemos Parachav Beis, you should be holy people. And what? If you find a dead carcass in the field, Lakelev Tashlichun Oso. Throw it to the dogs. Who's compared to a dog? A Malik. So if you lack Das, then the dog is better than. What do I mean, nevela tove menu, right? Meaning, nevela, you become a carcass. And then what? You're fed to the dogs. You're fed to a malik. Again, what separates us from an animal? Our ability to think. Some of us were learning this last night in the Osher Devei Emes. The ability to think and to reason. So if you throw away your das, then you become just a lifeless body. You become a nevela. And then we feed you to who? We feed you to the dogs. We feed you to the dogs. Now, I want to just mention one thing which will become more clear as we go. There's a Maharsha in Mesechah Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Zayin, that says that a Kelev is called a Kelev because kelav is milashon kulo lev. Kulo lev. It's all heart. That's why dogs are so friendly. People love dogs. Dog is a man's best friend. So let's try to keep that in mind for a minute as we go through this piece. Right? Amalek is kulo lev. Amalek is compared to a kelev. Kelev is milashon kulo lev. It's entirely made up of heart. Kulo lev. Think the opposite. Amalek is so evil. Okay, but let's keep that in mind for a minute. So again, a person who throws away his das is likened to a carcass. And a carcass is, you know, so to speak, better than him. In the sense that what happens to the carcass, i.e. the dogs that eat the carcass, have overpowered him. You've lost the battle to Amalek. Okay, but let's come back here. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go in to the Mishkan on his own. Moshe Rabbeinu waited for Hashem to call him. That's an expression of das. Why? Why is that das? Waiting for God to call you, to invite you into the Mishkan? Why is that called das? So he explains as follows. V'davar zem mispari shu api divrei ha-gemara. We're in the fifth line. Mipnei ma tiknu havdala b'chonein hadas. And this is a yesod God in the teachings of Rav Huttner. He would say this apparently a lot of times. Himself will say in this piece. Why, says the Gemara, do we say havdala? Atachan antanu, on Motzei Shabbos, why do we insert havdala? Which bracha of Shemona Esrei? Chonein hadas. Atachonein la'adam das. Why havdala, separation, included in das? Mipnei she'im ein das havdala minayin. Because without das, without deep understanding, I don't know how to be mavdi. I don't know how to distinguish between one thing and the next. But what Rav Huttner likes to do, and Rav Huttner's about to do, even though he doesn't use this phrase once in the piece, Rav Huttner also understood this Maamar Chazal in the opposite direction. What do I mean by that? Im ein das havdala minayin, flip it around. Im ein havdala das minayin. What does that mean? Im ein havdala, let's talk it outside. And then we can understand why Amalek is kula lev. Im ein das havdala minayin, im ein havdala das minayin. What does das mean? Chachma bina das. What does das mean? What type of wisdom is das? So you'll see, he's going to quote it in two lines. Where do we see das in the Torah? Bereishis Perek Dalet, v'ha'adam yada aschava ishto. What does it mean that Adam knew his wife? It means he was intimate with his wife. Das means the deepest kesher. Chachma is the beginning of an idea, a very fuzzy idea. Bina means I expand that idea. Das means I solidify that idea. I attach myself to that idea. So therefore, Havdalah and Das seem to be opposites. Havdalah is the thing that I stay away from. Das is the thing that I attach myself to. But what Chazal are revealing to us is a very deep thing. Im ein Das Havdalah minayin, or as Rav Huttner liked to say, Im ein Havdalah Das minayin. Im ein havdala, if I don't know how to maintain a healthy distance, then I can't really come to what? To true attachment. If I think that anyone who friends me on my Facebook account is my friend, then I don't have any friends. Because if I can't distinguish, if there's no havdala between a real friend and a fake friend, a real relationship and a fake relationship, so then there'll never be a real relationship. Im ein havdala, if I don't know how to... If I don't know how to separate from my wife when she's not permitted to me, then I'll never be able to be close to my wife when she is permitted to me. So im ein havdala, if I don't know how to hold back, then I don't really know how to draw close. So why is Amalek compared to a kelev? And again, I'm just adding this parenthetically. Putnam doesn't discuss this here. But I'm just adding it parenthetically. Why is Amalek compared to a kelev? Kelev is kulo lev, right? Kulo lev means what? I always want to be attached, right? That's why Amalek is a klipa of das. Amalek is not called a klipa of havdala, they're called a klipa of das. Das means attachment. Amalek is a perversion of attachment. That's why Amalek is always the first ones, right? They can't resist attacking Klal Yisrael. We come in Amitzrayim and everyone else is havdala. No one wants to start up with Klal Yisrael. Everyone else knows how to stand back. They heard about the Makos. They heard about Kriyas Yamsuf. Everyone's standing back. Amalek has to come in and attack. They have to attach themselves to Klal Yisrael. They have to have contact with Klal Yisrael. It's why our world today, which is all a hemshech of Amalek, which is the grandson of Esav, which is Edom, which is Chorban Bayasheni, right, which is Christianity, which is Western culture, there's no boundaries. There's no Havdalah. There's Bechlal no Havdalah. And Ein Havdalah, if there's no real Havdalah, then there's no real Das. If there's no separation, if all you have to do is love Yashka, you know, that's your whole Shulchan Aruch. To be a good Christian, you just have to love, you know, JC, and then you're good. Ein Havdalah, what's usher to you? What are you not allowed to do? Where's your Shulchan Aruch of things you're not allowed to do? What do you have to separate from? When yes, when no. When are we on, when are we off? If there's no Havdalah, then there's no real Das. There can be no real Das. Okay? So let's see how Rav Huttner explains it. So the Gemara says, Im ein Das, Havdalah minayin. The same thing is true. If I don't know how to attach deeply, then I don't really know what separation is. I don't know how to distinguish. Again, the Pashup Shad in the Gemara is, if I don't know how to think in a nuanced way, then I can't distinguish between things. I look at two goats, they look exactly the same, they cost the same price, they're the same height, but I don't realize that one is a Sa'ir La'ashem, and one is a Sa'ir La'azazel. The two goats of Yom Kippur, they look the same, they cost the same. Everything about them was the same, except for someone who's able to look more deeply can be Mechalik. Yom Kippur, Yom Kippurim. So you have to be able to look deeply. So explains Rav Huttner in the sixth line. Vasvaras ha'inyan, zechozra v'nishneis kama pama beis medrashenu. Like I told you, this was a theme that we've discussed many times, said Rav Huttner, in our beis medrash. This concept of the relationship between Havdalah and Das. Separation and attachment. B'pnei she'ikir segula so shel ha'das hu b'koach his dabkus v'hais kashrus ha'gonos b'socha. Right? What's so great about Das? What's the secret of Das? What does it mean when I really understand an idea well? Again, Das is an intellectual concept. What does it mean? When I have Das of Perak HaKones, I'm learning the sixth Perak above a comma, and I really get it. Shomer Aved, is it a Shomer Schinam, or is it a Shomer Sachar? Someone erased my board. Fine, I'm not angry at all. I didn't spend so much time working on it yesterday. I was hoping that board would still be here. No one ever erases the board, so what happened? I even said to Hashem this morning, I hope the board's still there. I don't know why. No one ever erased the board. Okay, it's a Nisayon for me. Yeah? So when you really chop it, when you really have Das, what does it mean, Das? What does it mean? If you understand an idea well, what does it mean? It means you're attached to that idea. You've attached yourself to that idea. Das means dveikus. Das means hiskashrus. Attaching yourself to the inyan. As he quotes in parentheses, v'ha Adam yada. Adam knew his wife. That's when a male and female body unite to produce a child, as that pasuk says, that Adam and Chava were intimate and produced children. So a person who doesn't know how to distance himself from something that is not appropriate for him, bal karcho, then you have to say about such a person, if I don't know how to separate, then I don't really know how to be close. If I think everyone's my best friend, then I don't have any real friends. But if I know this is not my wife, and this is not my wife, and this is not my wife, and this is my wife, okay. To the same degree that I internalize that all the other women of the world are not for me, then I can have yichud with my wife. I can have deep connection to my wife. The way that I'm able to distinguish, this is for me and this is not for me. Adam yada. Adam knew. Again, if you remember, Rashi says that Adam actually tried to pair himself up with all the animals until he came to the realization, this is not for me, this is not for me, this is not for me. Until Adam realized that I need something that's more from me, and that was Chava, who literally came from Adam. V'hu adin le'idach kisa. And the same thing is true in the opposite direction. Im anu ro'im Adam she'esh b'kocho l'is'achid, u'lis'yachid, im inyan shayich elav. If we see someone who is truly connected to something in a deep way, that itself, if you're a person who knows how to connect deeply, that's an indicator. I can look at such a person and say, he must also know how to separate in a deep way. Because if he pretends to be connected to everything, that's megala that reveals that he's not really connected to anything. He has no depth in his connections, in his relationships. So if you see someone who's truly connected to something which is shayich to him, mina achreyachu, then it's of necessity to say, sha'adam ze yeshbo koach shal hafrasha. This person knows how to separate. Has to be. It has to be. From the fact that you see him deeply attached to something, it must mean that he's made an active choice to separate from something else. He knows how to distance himself from something that's not for him. But again, keep in mind how Rav Huttner would explain it, as he's alluding to here. They're both true. It goes in both directions. If I don't know how to really attach, then I don't really know how to separate. If I don't know how to separate, I don't know how to attach. Okay? Umamela, and therefore. Im haya Moshe nichnas b'likriya. Can you imagine the enthusiasm? Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm the Gadol Hador. I'm the CEO of the company. I'm the one who's responsible for building this bias for Hashem. Maybe not with my own hands, but yes, with my own hands, because during the Chanukah Samishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu was literally building it and taking it apart for a series of 7 days. So Moshe Mamish, he says, I know the ins and outs of this building. So you would think, I can go to the building whenever I want. Moshe Rabbeinu understood, no, that's not how it works. Emein havdala das minayim. Moshe Rabbeinu, with all the temptation, so to speak, the spiritual temptation to want to be close, Nadav and Avihu. Yeah? Nadav and Avihu, the children of Aaron, they couldn't resist. They went into Kodesh Kadashim without permission, and Hashem said, it doesn't work like that. You can't do that. You can't just walk in whenever you want. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, had he entered without being summoned, that would be an indication that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't understand his place, doesn't understand his boundaries. Think about what Har Sinai looked like. Think about how the Torah spends time telling people where they can go, where they can't go at Har Sinai. Be careful, don't touch the mountain. Moshe, you can go here. Aaron, you can go here. Zakan, you can go here. Klai, so you can go here. They stood at the foot of the mountain. The Torah warns, be careful, don't ascend the mountain. Know your place. Makiras makomo, know your place. Val Kain, 5 lines from the bottom. Haisa alav hataina shel tamid chacham shein bodas. So had Moshe entered without permission, he would have exposed himself as being what? A tamid chacham who lacks das. Ki rak hakriya haisa habirur al yachas hamakom hazeh ilav. It was only when he got that phone call from Hashem, Vayikra el Moshe, when Hashem called to Moshe, that Moshe understood that what? It had now been clarified that this place is for Moshe. He wasn't making assumptions. I don't know if this is my place. Tread carefully. The person thinks, whatever, it's more ruchnius. What could be bad about it? What could be bad about it is you could kill yourself. You could spiritually kill yourself. You get ahead of yourself. It's not for you. It's not your place. Now this line's hard. Look carefully. 3 lines from the bottom. But since, before Moshe was called, das, attachment, by what? What was the attachment when he was sitting waiting for the phone call? What was his attachment? His understanding of what attachment means by what? By staying back. He was showing an appreciation for das. Right? In other words, la'acher shekod, therefore, after that we see that what? Shekdem ha'kriya, that prior to being summoned, pala bo hadas, he showed that he had true das. How so? B'koach ha'havdala sheva, by staying away. Once Moshe proved to Hashem, I know how to stay back, then Hashem says, because you knew how to stay back, what's Hashem do to him? What does Hashem say to Moshe? Come close. Right? Hashem says, I want to have real relationships. If you can show me that you understand how to strike that balance in a healthy way, then I can invite you in. The fact that Moshe stood back proved that he understood what it means to be connected. If Moshe is the type of person who thinks he's connected to everyone, Hashem says, I'm not interested in that. That's not a real connection. That's not a kesher shel kayama. That's not an eternal bond. Right? I want... Hashem says, I'm eternal and I want my connections to be eternal. Eternal bonds have to be deep. And deep connections have to know that there's times for closeness and times for separation. So when Moshe showed HaKadosh Baruch Hu and displayed that awareness of what real das means, hinei la'acher hakriya, so now after he was called, palo bo hadas b'koach hadveikus shavah. Again, what Rav Huttner is saying is das has two components to it. Right? True das has an element of being withdrawn, and true das has an element of being close. So only once Moshe displayed that he understood how to keep his distance, then Hashem said, "Okay, good. Now you can come to the deeper, you know, essence of what das is, which is what, which is being close, which is being connected." The yada of Adam yada. Adam knew his wife. After Adam went through that process of saying, this animal's not my wife, this animal's not my wife, this animal's not for me, this animal's not for me, it's a strange Rashi. Whether he paired himself up with them intellectually, or the Pashup Shana Rashi sounds like Adam slept with the animals, he was intimate with the animals, until he came to a realization that that's not for me. But it was through that process of what? Of Havdalah, that now there can be attachment. Think about marriage. Marriage has two steps to it. What are the two steps of marriage? Jewish marriage. Kedushin and Nisuin. What is Kedushin? Hareya Mekudesh Asli. You are now designated to me, as Rashi explains at the beginning of Maseches Kedushin, to the exclusion of all others. It's only once we've taken this woman away from other men that now she can attach herself fully to her husband. Then there can be Yichud, which is what Nisuin is. Nisuin is Yichud. Right? Whether Yichud means standing under the chuppah, or Yichud means going to the Yichud room, right, or yichud means consummating the marriage, whatever it is, it's only after she's poresh, once she's assert herself to all other people, she can now attach herself completely to her husband. So after there's havdalah, there can be das. Okay? Im ein havdalah, das minayim. If not for havdalah, where could there be das? Or in the language of the Gemara, im ein das havdalah minayim. Okay? Bottom line of the page. Vayishma es hakol medaber love. So now we understand, this is a pasuk in Parshas Naso, in Perek Zayin of Bamidbar. Right? When Moshe would come to speak to Hashem, the pasuk says, Vayishma es hakol, he heard the voice, medaber elav, speaking to him. Moshe knew when Hashem wanted him to draw close. Uvelibam shel talmidei chachamim mevakshei, turn the page, Hashem. So now, how does all of this connect us to Purim? A gewaltig insight into this week's Parsha, and a tremendous yisod in relationships in life. You guys want a dating shir? This is your dating shir, okay? Someone's been hocking me for the dating shir. This is a dating shir. If you don't know how to hold back, then you don't know how to be close. So look, a Talmid Chacham, who wants to be close to Hashem? Who doesn't want to be close to Hashem? In the hearts of Talmidei Chacham who are Mevakshei Hashem, Locheshes Talmid HaChashasha. If you are a real Talmid Chacham, again, a Talmid Chacham without Das, you're like a carcass. Nevela Tova Heimenu. But if you're a real Talmid Chacham, who wants to have real what? Real Das, so then you know what you're always nervous about? Maybe I'm overstepping. Maybe I'm not waiting for the call. It's hard for us to hear the call. Look at the Rashi's at the beginning of this week's Parsha. Moshe's ability to hear something other people couldn't hear. You have to really train your ear to hear the call. So sometimes we're kind of guessing, you know, does Hashem want me to be close? Does Hashem want me to stand back a little bit? Am I growing too quickly in my avodas Hashem? Am I being too standoffish in my relationship with Hashem? So a Talmid Chacham lives with this constant fear that what? Pen v'ulai nidchokim heim b'cheskas hayad n'makomos l'mala me'rosham. Maybe I'm nidchok. Maybe I'm pushing too much. And b'cheskas yad, I'm asserting my hand, or I'm asserting myself, and entering into places that are what? L'mala me'roshem, above our heads. Maybe I'm not being appropriate in my relationship with Hashem. Maybe I am trying to get too close, too quick to God. And we know what happens. When a person tries to grow spiritually too quickly, they fall apart. It always happens. They spiritually collapse. And then Talmidei Chacham say, they rebuke themselves as if to say, I don't have real das. Because I don't really know where the lines of Havdalah are. I don't know where to hold back, where to draw close. And there's this uncertainty that we have, that suffix of Amalek, right? That I don't know. How am I doing in my Avodas Hashem? Am I being too easy on myself? Am I being too tough on myself? I didn't make it to Shachar today. Did I have a legitimate excuse? Am I making excuses? Right? Am I going to buy into that narrative that I'm not a shachris type of going guy and redefine myself and sell myself short? Right? Or maybe it was appropriate because of, you know, last night was a complicated night for me, so it's not the end of the world. I can pick myself up and start again. Right? Maybe I'm not challenging myself enough. Maybe I'm pushing myself too hard. I'm being too tough on myself. I'm beating myself up too much for my shortcomings. I'm only human. What do you expect from me? So we're struggling with that line between das, attachment, and havdalah, and separation. And an honest Talmud Chacham struggles with that. That's the experience, says Rav Huttner, of a Jew all year round. Elisha kol zehu b'shar yamos hashana. That's throughout the calendar year. Aval b'shas simchas Purim. But one of the chidushim of Purim, one of the big chidushim of Purim, shemahale chaneis haya al yedei halo nikresi lavo el amelech. The salvation of Klal Yisrael came about when Esther had the audacity to what? To walk into the king's room, shalokadas, without permission. Lo nekresi levo al-melech. I'm not being called to the king. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu says, you got to wait for the call. If you want to be really connected to the king, got to wait for the call. That's most of the time. But says Rav Huttner, there's such a deep idea. There are times in the calendar year where a Jew has to push. Where a Jew has to overstep the boundaries a little bit. Where a Jew has to be willing to go to the king even without getting the phone call. V'chol makum shenemar ha-melech stam. Whenever it says the melech in the Megillah, we know from Chazal, the Medrash tells us, that's melech malchei hamlochim akosu medaber. The pasuk's talking about Hashem. And therefore, harei seder ha-hanhaga shal simchas purim, the way that we operate on Purim, michayev. Rav Huttner doesn't say you have permission to overstep. That's the expectation on Purim. Michayev. You're expected to overstep. Because a person who what? Who has a longing to go, lifnai v'lifnim, who wants to go into the Kodesh Kadashim, but knows that it's off limits, that's true most of the year. What happens on Yom Kippur? What happens on Yom Kippur? The Kohen Gadol, one Jew, represents Klal Yisrael, goes where? Into the Kodesh Kadashim. The rest of the year, is anyone allowed to go into that room? No, not even the Kohen Gadol. Right? So Yom Kippur is the day where what? It's one day a year where we allow a shliach, one person, to go to the place where we all want to go, but we're never allowed to go. Why is Purim greater than Yom Kippur? Because in Purim, what? We all go into the Kodesh Kadashim. Right? Something that all of us want to do all year round, but can't do. Yom Kippur, we send one person in. Purim, all of Klal Yisrael goes into Kodesh Kadashim. All of Klal Yisrael gives themselves permission, and more than that, obligates themselves. We obligate ourselves to go into the Kodesh Kadashim. This goes back to our shir about Adam Arishon and the clothing of the Big Day Kahuna, and Achashverosh wearing the Big Day Kahuna, and Mordechai wearing the Big Day Kahuna. We're mechai of ourselves. You know why? Because again, if you really want to go into Kodesh Kadashim, if that's really what you want all year round, prove it on Purim. Hashem says, on Purim, I'll let you do it. So if you do it, then it proves that all year round, when you wanted to, you really meant it. You really wanted to. The same way Moshe, when he's sitting outside the Mishkan, of course he wants to go in. But he's waiting for the call. There's a time and a place. When he gets the call, he goes in. But Purim is an exception to the rule. Purim, a Jew is mechayiv. Again, five lines from the end. Ki mi she'eshtokekos hakadusha dochefes osop pnima. A person who feels, who's driven through that heshtokekos, that ratzon, that desire, that he wants to go in. He can't resist. I have to go in. I need to go into that place. I feel a sense of obligation to go into that place. Zoche b'metzios chein. Hashem says, good. Hashem smiles at such a person. And Hashem not only allows you to come in, what does Hashem do? What did Achashverosh do, lahavdil, when Esther came in without permission? He extended the royal scepter. Right? He said, gavaldik, I'm so happy to see you. Va'adrava, moshitim lo es sharvit hazahav. He extends the royal scepter. It's an invitation. Come close. Ve'im tomar. So this is very important in the last three lines. Very Rav Huttner style. Vim Tomar, and it's, hey, wait a minute. There's still a problem. You're telling me I can go into Glashan, that's Gavaldik, but then I'm showing that what? I'm showing that I lack Das. I lack Das because I'm showing that there's no restrictions on Purim. I let myself go. Vim Tomar, halo al nichlas b'li kriya nemra lav shein bo Das. Ah, but a person who goes in without permission is a person who lacks Das. V'yesh lomar, adraba. Hello, b'simchas Purim, ein heder adas, chisaron klal. On Purim, a lack of das is not what? Is not a chisaron. is not a lack, is not a void. Because the avoda of Purim is what? Mechayiv inish. Libesuri puraya adla yada. I'm chayiv to go adla yada. I'm supposed to put aside my das. And I'm supposed to have the audacity to walk into the Kodesh Kadash. So, chaver, this is a very important piece, bechlal, when it comes to relationships, how we connect to, how we connect and how we disconnect, and knowing those boundaries in a very, very strong and clear way. It's critically important. When you cross that line, it's such a perversion. I'll just end. I'll tell you one var from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, the author of the Sichas Musar, the great Rosh Hashiva from the Mir. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz said, if you look in the Torah, by the prohibition of cross-dressing, of a woman wearing a man's clothing. Torah is very clear. A woman may not wear kli gever, may not wear a man's garment. On Purim, we make an exception to that also, the Ramah says, right, with regard to the costumes of Purim. But all year round, the woman's not allowed to wear clothing of a man and vice versa. Says the Targum Yonasan, ben Uziel, what does it mean a woman can't wear man's clothing? The Targum Yonasan says a woman can't wear tefillin. A woman can't wear tefillin. That's man's clothing. Tzitzis and tefillin. Right? What does the Torah say about a woman who wears man's clothing? How does the Torah describe that? The Torah calls it a to'eva, an abomination. It's an abomination, as Rashi explains, because maybe a person is dressing like the opposite gender, you know, to infiltrate the, you dress up like a woman, to infiltrate the woman's locker room at the gym, right? And it leads to all sorts of perverse arayos. Okay, that's the to'eva. But says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, I don't get it. How could you call wearing tefillin a to'eva? According to the Targum Yonasan, that's what it says. A woman shouldn't wear a man's garment. Targum Yonasan says that's a reference to tefillin. So what we're saying is a woman who wears tefillin is an abomination. An abomination? It's such a horrible thing? How could such a holy thing be such a horrible thing? And Chaim Shmulevitz says that's exactly the point. When something is not for you, it doesn't matter how objectively holy it is. In the right context, tefillin are kodesh kadashim. Mordechai went out wearing his tefillin. In the right way, it's a very holy thing. But if it's applied in the wrong way, then it becomes what? Then it becomes a complete perversion to the point that the Torah would refer to it as an abomination, as a disgrace. So everything's about the context. Dr. Gallo can tell you a lot more about that, the context of things. How you use things is the... If you don't know how to use it, if you don't know how to hold back from using it, then you don't really know how to use it. So Purim, again, is the exception to the rule, where we allow ourselves to remove our das and allow ourselves to go lefnai v'lefnim. Yes, we'll end with a comment from our good friend Josh. Did Rashi's daughters wear tefillin? Yeah, could be. It could be. We'll have to ask Rashi and his daughters when Tchias HaMeisim takes place. I don't know. That's what they say. They did. I don't know. We have to look into the sources for that. Okay.